Before we dive in, let's pray. Father, I ask that you would speak to us by your Holy Spirit, that you would use my mouth to speak to all of us about you, what you would have to say, and that we would leave here with greater faith, greater peace, greater joy. I pray, Father, that you would change our lives in this message, in this service. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Well, so good to see how many people show up. I had no idea. This is my first Labor Day weekend here. And I thought, well, I don't know. Did people actually show up on Labor Day weekend to church in Nanaimo? I had no idea. Apparently they do. So good to all of you. And all those of you who are listening on the internet, after I'm long done, we missed you. Wasn't that gracious and kind? I could have said something else. Anyway, let me start off with a story this morning. This is back in the days of the Roman Colosseum. And maybe you've heard this story before. But back in the days of the Roman Colosseum, a man was sentenced to be executed. Because he couldn't flip his slides. Yep. Oh, there we go. Okay. So, he was sentenced to be executed, and they, by lion, no doubt, and they released the lion, and the crowd roared as this lion charged towards the man. And just as the lion got towards the man bent down and quickly whispered something in his ear. And the lion slowly retreated and went back to his cage. Well, the emperor thought that was pretty weird, but they sent out a second lion. And the second lion did the same thing. After the third lion, the emperor asked the man, "Come forward, I got to talk to this guy." So they brought the prisoner to the emperor. And the emperor said, "What did you whisper in the lion's ear?" And the man said, "Well, not much, really. I just said that following dinner, you'll have to say a few words." Fear of public speaking is big. Sometimes it's been rated as bigger than death in some people's minds. They would rather die than do what I'm doing right now. And there are times where I don't blame them. The next story that I want to share with you. Oh, there we go. Okay, the next story that I want to share with you is a more serious story, and it's about my failure with fear. Probably about 16, 17 years ago, when I was in my earlier years of being a pastor, I had worked all day and into the night. And that particular night was youth group night. So there was a bunch of kids roaming around and all that sort of thing. I sequestered myself to my office and did my thing. And, you know, about 9 o'clock at night, I thought, well, it's time to go home. And as I left my office, I had to cross the foyer to get outside. And in the foyer, to my surprise, was one of our youth leaders hovering over this girl who was laying on the floor. And she was writhing around and making all kinds of strange noises, and he was praying quite fervently over this person. Now, what would you do? This is what this good pastor did. I tiptoed around them and left. This is what you hired, people. I probably should wait till my probationary period is over before saying these things. I'm not very discerning about the stories I tell. But anyway, and of course later I had a good discussion with this person. I'd love to say that it was fatigue that made the decision that night. But in retrospect, I know that's not true. What made the decision that night was fear. I tiptoed around because I didn't feel capable of dealing with that situation. I didn't know what to do. I was afraid. Fear has a great effect on things like relationships. Fear can make us stingy with our money. Fear can affect the level of intimacy we have with the people around us. Fear can make us want to amass possessions around us to help us feel safe. Fear can even determine where it is that we want to live. I read this great book called I Am Hutterite, about Hutterites, no doubt, written by Marianne Kirkby. And she said this about fear. She said, Hutterites are taught that the colony is the ark of God, and like the story of Noah in the Bible, those inside the ark were safe, and those who refused to enter perished. In other words, according to her, a lot of times people want to stay in the colony out of fear of the outside world. I mean, who wants to, be drowning outside the ark, right? No one wants that. You stay inside the safe ark. Fear can even affect the types of clothing that we wear. Did you know that? I read parents were buying $200 armored backpacks for their kids. So in case a shooter shows up at their school, their kid can hide behind this $200 armored backpack. Fear. Fear can affect who we marry, what job we take, the number of children that we have, whether we stay single or not. Do you know what the number one ingredient in hand sanitizer is? Fear. Now I'm going to get letters. Okay, that was just a joke. Relax. For all those of you hand sanitizer people. Fear is not uncommon. Take a look at some famous people in history. Julius Caesar. Did you know that the mighty Julius Caesar, emperor of the entire Roman Empire, was afraid of thunder? We have a dog afraid of thunder. He was afraid of thunder. There was Peter the great czar of Russia, at 6'5". You know what he was afraid of? Bridges. It says he would avoid bridges at all as much as possible. And when he did have to cross a bridge, it was said that he would tremble and weep like a child. I'm just making you feel better when you start thinking about your fears, okay? And then there's Dr. Samuel Johnson, the British writer in the 18th century. He had a fear of walking into any room with his right foot. He had to walk in with his left foot. If he didn't walk in with his left foot, he backed out of the room and did it properly. Crazy fears. Thank you, John, for bringing us some crazier fears this morning. That was amazing. You'd think a guy like General George S. Patton from World War II would be a guy that you'd consider pretty brave. But this is what he said. He said, I am not a brave man. The truth of the matter is I'm usually a coward at heart. I've never been in the sound of a gunshot or sight of battle in my whole life that I was not afraid. I constantly have sweat on my palms and a lump in my throat. The question is, should our lives be controlled by fear? You probably recall the words of FDR on his first inaugural address, March 4th, 1933, and he said these famous words, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself, nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance." Should we as followers of Jesus in the Nanaimo Alliance Church have our lives dictated by fear? Should we be making decisions based on what we are afraid of? What does God have to say about this? And I've got good news for you this morning. The Bible has lots to say about fear. And this is what we're going to discover this morning. That faith is freeing. Faith is freeing. Isn't that a nice little slide that I made there? You were all watching that. I was watching you. Faith is freeing. It is. You just heard the story about a man who took a long trip, and he gave bags of silver, 5 to one person, 2 to another, 1 to the last. And thank you, Mark, for reading that for us. And a lot of people think this is just a story about using our resources, the good stewardship and that sort of thing. But really, when I took a good close look at it, this story is about fear. Take a look at what it says. The last guy, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back." Fear influenced this decision. Fear influenced him using what God had given him. Fear tends to want to erase, suppress, stifle, and keep down. And here's the thing that's pretty bankable. All of us in this room have made a decision based on fear this week. I'll say it again. All of us in this room have made a decision based on fear this week. So what's the solution? Let's take a look a little bit about what Jesus had to say. At one point, Jesus came across a man named Jairus, and his daughter was dying. On the way, though, they told him, "Don't bother, your daughter is dead. Don't trouble Jesus anymore." But watch Jesus' response. He said, "But Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, 'Don't be afraid, just have courage.'" Just have faith is what Jesus said. Don't be afraid. Did you know that don't be afraid is the number one command in Scripture? It's the most often repeated command in Scripture. Don't be afraid. You think God's trying to tell us something? Don't be afraid. Have courage. And you know, if Jesus was more the Anthony Robbins type, you know, the motivational speaker type, he might have told Jairus, "You've got this, Jairus. You're the man. You have the power within you to conquer this fear. Just go out and do it. Take that hill. Storm that castle. You got this." It's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Just have faith." And when I use the word faith, I mean it in the biblical sense, which is trust. Just trust. And Jesus is saying, "Trust me, Jairus, just trust me. I got this. Don't worry. Relax." Faith, you see, is freeing. There's another story that's told. Jesus was in a boat. You probably know this story, or you may know this story. Jesus was with the boys in the boat, and a storm came up. And these guys were pretty worried. I mean, I got to think, you know, as fishermen, this was pretty embarrassing to Peter. He was already seeing the headlines the next day, you know. Fishermen and crew die at sea. How humiliating, you know. They spend their whole life on the water, and what do? They drown. Come on. Well, then, as they were struggling with the oars and that sort of thing, they thought, hey, someone had a brilliant idea. Let's go find Jesus. Let's see if he could do something about this. So they went, and of course they found Jesus sleeping. I love that. It's the best part of the story to me. Where's Jesus? In the midst of the storm? He's relaxed. It's all good. No problems. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus responded, "Why are you afraid? You have so little courage. You have so little faith." Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. The answer was in trusting Jesus. Faith, you see, is freeing. Now, faith has an incredible effect on a number of things. And the first one I want to look at is service. It says this: "We have been rescued from our enemies so that we can serve God without fear in holiness and righteousness for as long as we live." Now, this prophecy was made before Jesus was born. This was made by John the Baptist's dad. And he prophesied that a time will come where the people of God will serve him without fear. Isn't that a great promise? A lot of us just skip over this stuff. And it's easy to do because it's kind of buried in the beginning of Luke there. And, you know, we just want to get to the shepherds and all that good stuff. But here it is. So we can serve God without fear. Faith is freeing. It's a wonderful thing. There's another teaching as well. And it goes along with money. And we are told this. Don't love money, be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you, I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. Isn't that great? What can mere people do to me? Man, wouldn't it be great to be part of a church that just lived their lives like that? I have no fear. What can people do to me? What can happen to me? I trust God. It's marvelous. Some people, you might have noticed, have amazing peace. Even in the midst of the storm, they have amazing peace. How is that? How can that possibly happen? I take a look at this. This is beautiful. From Romans 8. What a great thing it says here about our status as followers of Jesus. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. It talks about our status. We are no longer slaves, and we are not fearful. We are no longer fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba, Father, for His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. It's relationship. The reason that we can trust God, the reason that we can have faith is found in relationship with Him. Isn't that beautiful? You received a spirit that no longer makes you fearful slaves. Marvelous. God adopted you. And when God adopted you, He gave you value, safety. You knew that you were not alone, that God notices you. You came under His protective roof. You are no longer orphans. Not an amen. You are no longer orphans, children of the King. It's okay, you're only 2 months in. I'll get you there. That's right. Now I want to get to the heart of the issue. This may have seemed a little scatterbrained, but I'm getting to a point. And here it is. This is the passage that really gets to the heart of what I'm talking about this morning and gets to the heart of what I want us to do as a result. Here it is, from 1 John 4:18. Perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. I just want you to soak this in for a moment. Think about those five words. Perfect love expels all fear. What kind of love? It's perfect. Thank you. Thank you. There is only one person in the entire universe capable of perfect love. That is our God. Perfect love expels most fear. Some fear? Perfect love expels all fear. That is a pretty amazing statement, don't you think? The answer to all of our fear is found in perfect love. But you notice something else in this passage. It's not about just knowing God loves you. It doesn't talk about that. It doesn't say go to a Bible study and learn about God's love. That's good, though. Don't get me wrong. Don't join a small group. Don't even listen to a pastor that just talks about perfect love. That's not enough. What does it say? You have to experience it. You have to experience God's perfect love. And when you experience God's perfect love, it expels all fear. It tells fear there is no vacancy here. Go away. When you have experienced God's perfect love allows us to trust Him and to have faith. It's all tied together. It's all about relationship. You are not just adopted, you are perfectly loved. Perfectly loved. No wonder the writer in Hebrews said, "The Lord is my helper, I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me?" It's because faith is freeing. Now, the question becomes, well, that's all great, Pastor. But what do I do with my fear? Because let's be honest, don't we all struggle with fear? Some of you are not as honest as others. Don't we all struggle with fear? I'm looking for the hinge at the back of your neck. Yes. We do. I do. I already shared with you one of my many, many failures. We don't have time to listen to all of them. About my struggle with fear. But you know, in preparing for this message, I realized the answer is in me experiencing God's perfect love. And the more I experience God's perfect love, the less afraid I'm going to be. I'll get to why that's important in a second. So what can we do? There are three things that we can do to experience more of God's love. And there's probably more, but these are the ones I'm going to hand to you this morning. We welcome God's love when we first of all listen to Him. Listen to Him. We live in a very loud world, don't we? There is noise, busyness everywhere. I know people, they can't drive down the road without the radio on. What's that? Even in motorbikes. Wow, okay. Yeah, that's a sign of the end, I think. Yeah. Not even on a motorbike can you ride down the road, you know, with the wind whistling in your ears. You got to have noise on. We live in a very noisy world. The noisiest this world has ever been. Do you realize that our great-great-great-great-grandparents never had this noise that you and I deal with? So to listen to God takes real intentionality today, to be quiet and listen. Even what you're doing right now is good. You're listening in quietness, but there's more to it than that. When you're at home during the week, do you find time to be quiet before God and listen to Him? Maybe you're part of a prayer group or a small group. And just take the time to listen to Him, because His message to you is the same. I love you. I love you. I love you. But if we're not listening, we don't hear it. Second thing, we might be hearing it, but we might not be believing it. Here's one of the games that you may play, one of the games that I play, is when I hear God saying, "I love you," I tell myself, "No, God couldn't love me, not after what I did." Or, here's another good one, that may be true of others, but it's not true of me. If you really get dark, you can go down this way. I think the Bible's just made up. Couldn't possibly be true. It's just filled with lies. Nobody loves me perfectly. Did you know the Bible calls the devil a liar? That he's the originator of all lies? And the lie is God doesn't love you and cannot love you. How many of us believe that and tell ourselves that on a regular basis? Does God really love me? The answer is yes, and God loves you too. So, first thing, we listen to Him, we believe Him, and then I think it's really important to celebrate Him. Our God is a God of love. And when we gathered together, we already sang about his amazing love, did we not? It's a reminder that, oh, that's right. That's right, God loves me. We are told many times in Scripture to give thanks. Why? Because it's a reminder of what God has done for us. Sometimes we don't celebrate all the things God's done for us. Most of us in this room walked into this room on our own steam. Thank you, God, for loving me. Amazing. Most of you have ears that are working right now. Thank you, God, that I can hear. Amazing. And you start going down the list of all the things God's done for you, ways that he's shown love for you, and it's different for each of us. It reminds us of how amazing our God is and gives us the opportunity to celebrate him. Why is this important? This whole series, by the way, ends today. And this series is called My Values. Why would you have faith over fear as a value? I mean, right up in the top section, this is a value. Why would I as a pastor, why would we as a church have faith over fear as a value? It's quite simple. When you and I make decisions based on fear, we make bad decisions. And we miss out on what God has for us. And so the more we embrace having faith, having trust, experiencing God's love in our lives, the more we are going to make decisions based on faith rather than fear. And they will be better decisions, and we're going to see more of God's power in our church. This is true for me. The more I experience God's love, the more I'm going to make decisions as a pastor that reflect faith rather than fear. Could we pray for our board to make decisions based on faith rather than fear? Our entire church, as we look into how we are going to bless our community with the love of Christ, we need to make decisions based on faith rather than fear. And the solution is we all have to become experts at experiencing God's love. Perfect love expels all fear. Isn't that amazing? I'll tell you, church, one thing. If I could, I don't know how long I'll be the pastor here. It might be 3 months, could be 3 years, could be 30 years. I don't know. But I'm telling you from my heart, if I could do one thing, if I could leave one mark in this church, it would be that I helped you experience God's love. Because that will change everything. Just that one thing. Faith is freeing. I want you to take the opportunity to listen. Remember, we said this is one of the things, if we're going to experience God's love, we have to listen. So I'm going to ask you, you can close your eyes, you can follow along, it'll be on the screen, but I want you to just listen to what God is saying to you, and I want you to experience God's love. Don't let it just land in your brain. Experience it. His Spirit is here right now. Let's listen to what he has to say. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. They are confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. I lay down and slept, yet I woke up in safety, for the Lord was watching over me. I am not afraid of 10,000 enemies who surround me on every side. The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident. O God, have mercy on me, for people are hounding me. My foes attack me all day long. I am constantly hounded by those who slander me, and many are boldly attacking me. But when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. I praise God for what He has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? Father God, we are undeserving of your love. And yet you offer it in amounts that I cannot even fathom nor describe. You love your people in this church so much that I could not possibly do it justice. But Holy Spirit, would you please just let this group experience your love right now. Let them just soak it in. Let them just feel how much you care about them. How much you think about them. How much they mean to you. How excited you are about them being in your kingdom and spending eternity with you. Let them just feel that and sense it and experience you, God. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.